Tonight, a special treat for the start of the new autumn season, a frightful tale in honour of All Hallows Eve and Day of many names known throughout much of the world. Halloween in North America, Samhain to many around the world, or Hoptunar on the Isle of Man, and the Day of the Dead in much of Central and South America. By whatever name you choose, the end of the 10th month of October, in ancient times associated with the autumnal equinox, is a rather mysterious day of observance. While some cultures celebrate with children dressing in costumes and collecting candy treats from neighbours and friends, others consider the night of October 31st, All Hallows Eve, a frightful and dark time when the dead are free to walk the land of the living. It seems only right that tonight, on the Unknown Radio Show, we observe the season with a terribly dark and frightful story. A true tale set in a remarkable and mysterious New World City in the year 1838. The place is gay New Orleans, a city of mixed culture with heavy Spanish and French influence, but complemented with a high concentration of Afro-Islander mystic. It was a time of grand social awareness, where the Euro ruling class were exercising their success and freedom in lavish and fanciful fashion, staging grand parties and balls and festival celebrations to remember, while the poor, the working class, and especially the free men of colour and the slave labourers, the Creole and the Mulatta, a strange mix of African, American Indian, French and English mixed bloods, were practising strange forms of religion that combined Catholicism and island spiritualism, magic of the dark arts. Following is our All Hallows Eve special presentation, a collaboration of music I have composed to reflect the season, and a frightful tale crafted and narrated by storyteller and author Logan Hawkes, seasoned with special appearances from the Unknown Radio Theatre Voice performers. Welcome to The Voodoo Queen and the Devil's Wife.
Throughout this world, there are truly many frightening places. From Castle Dracula, high in the Pyrenees Mountains of Eastern Europe, to Ireland's Bloody Chapel, the catacombs beneath Gay Paree and Scotland's infamous and haunted Mary King's Close. Deep in the Guatemalan rainforest, the ancient city of Tikal is alive with the sounds of restless spirits after dark. And Mexico's Real 14, a massive ghost town above the clouds, is a place to be avoided after dark. But while there are castles with haunted chambers, abandoned homes that stimulate and electrify the senses, and spooky and rural roadways that seem to lead to nowhere, there may be no single supernatural location in the world today more frightening, more haunted, more mysterious than the dim-lit streets, the shadowed alleyways, the hotels and inns and cemeteries, the shops and taverns and bayous of old New Orleans, deep in the plantation country of South Louisiana. There are few cities across the world that can rival the cultural and ethnic complexity of New Orleans, past and present. The city has celebrated a surprising and unparalleled reputation as a place of darkness and shadow. New Orleans, in fact, has always enjoyed a strange relationship and fascination with the world of the dead. Perhaps because so much has transcended the city, wars and plagues, slave camps and military occupations, pirates, and hurricanes. From its ornate and Gothic cemeteries to the famous French Quarter, in the Crescent City, it's easy to find a ghostly tour guide, a psychic or medium, fortune teller, or even street musician that can and will, for a small price, treat you to the sights and places where spirits are said to roam freely and where the dead still walk the night. You can stop in at one of hundreds of small voodoo shrines and shops all across the city where the ancient and magical arts of West Africa and Haiti still thrive on the streets of the Big Easy, and where you might be lucky enough to buy a charm or spell to help you find love or money or fame, or perhaps seek vengeance on your enemies.
And what can I do for you, sir? A look into your future, perhaps? A potion to bring your wife or your girlie to sweet passion and desire?
Oh, no, no, I need to break an evil spell I have reason to believe has been woven against me at the discretion of a jealous associate who has connections to people, well, like you.
And what kind of person would this be, mister?
Why, a gifted woman of some persuasion, of course. Skilled in a thousand ways, madame.
In New Orleans in the 1830s, if it could be sold, money could buy.
Combien pour le chien dans la fenêtre?
To understand the shroud of mystery that veils this balmy coastal city, we need look no further than its storied past. Founded by the Spanish, the ethnic composition of the city includes heavy French influences. The city was always a place where Africans, both slave and free, and American Indians shared their cultures and intermingled with Europeans who had come to seek their fortune. Encouraged by the French government, this strategy for producing a durable and flexible culture in a geographically difficult outpost marked New Orleans as different and special from its inception. The New Orleans Creole population has ensured that English was but a second language, with French and Spanish and African the primary languages of choice, where Protestantism was scorned and Catholicism deeply woven into the social structure of the city. And isolation helped nourish the differences. Even though steamboats and sailing ships quickly connected French Louisiana to the remainder of the New World, New Orleans jealously guarded its unique way of life. It became the world's largest slave market for one, and soon, the richest city in the New World.
And today we have a grand offering of new arrivals from Western Africa. Just look at the sturdy build of these gents. Guaranteed to give you many long hours of plantation labor. And they work sun up to sun down. Let's start the bidding at $20 for Exhibit 1. A strong man and healthy man.
Look at that hunk of a man. Dark and beautiful.
Constance, you are embarrassing me. Not so loud, others will hear you.
But he would look good keeping my garden.
The tall, dark one there. Strong one. I could use him in the field.
But all this diversity and all the amazing and often dark stories that could be told of the Crescent City, none, perhaps, are more gripping and tantalizing than the one of a remarkable woman named Marie Laveau. A free woman of color and a devout Roman Catholic. But Marie patronized more than just the gods of St. Louis Chapel. Through her first Haitian husband, she was introduced to the dark secrets of the voodoo and spiritualist, a religion that could trace its roots to remote jungles of Western Africa and regionalized in the islands of the Caribbean. With voodoo's countless deities, demonic possessions, animal and rumored human sacrifices, rituals were elaborate, steeped in secret languages, spirit-possessed dancing and special diets, it's easy to understand why New Orleans was and remains associated with the magical arts. The ancestral dead are thought to walk among the living during hooded voodoo dances, and a few bucks could always buy you a charm to help protect you from evil curses.
Madame, I believe a rash of bad luck has assailed me in recent days. Maybe the result of an evil spell.
Give me your hand. Yes, there is a dark magic working in your life, I see. And you wish a spell to break this spell, yes?
That's my thought, madame. I can pay well for a spell that works.
I'll need a piece of your fingernail, a hair from your head, and a suitable payment, of course, to cover the cost of my powers. Nothing more.
Well, of course, madame. Whatever you need.
Many a politician would pay good money to a voodoo priest or priestess to cast a spell that would enable them to win an election. Even New Orleans' most successful and elite participated in the art of voodoo, buying charms to help them seek their fortunes.
Thank you.
Marie Laveau was born in New Orleans in 1794. She was of mixed black, white, and American Indian blood. Some said she was a descendant of French aristocracy, or the daughter of a wealthy white planter. But it was her marriage to Jacques Paris, a man of color from Haiti, that provided her the chance to study the voodoo religion. Marie was a woman of distinctive personality, so it wasn't long before she began to impress and influence a number of the socially elite of New Orleans. She was a hairdresser by trade, and this is how she gained the audience of many of the finest ladies of the city. By 1838, Marie had become so popular among both the Creoles and the city's social elite that she was soon given the moniker, the Queen of Voodoo. Each Sunday in colonial New Orleans was a day dedicated to the Congo dances in the square, a day when plantation slaves were allowed to mix with free blacks in performance and participation in the ritual songs and dances of the voodoo spiritualist. Even the socially elite would turn out to watch the colorful voodoo event. Marie was greatly beloved by those that practiced voodoo and by those that dabbled in the black arts. For in early New Orleans, it was necessary to carry a charm or two to stave off the elements of dark magic. Marie Laveau left her mark on New Orleans. When not casting spells or concocting potions or dancing in Congo Square with her pet snake, Zombie, Marie was known to nurse the sick and dying in the Creole neighborhoods, without charge to the poor. Soon she won the hearts of her followers and was admired among the rich and famous. Upon her death, she was interred at one of the famous and historic city cemeteries in New Orleans. Her above-ground crypt is still a popular tourist attraction, and more so, a place where voodoo pilgrims still visit each day, bearing gifts of money and flowers and herbs. Even in death, it seems, Marie Laveau remains the infamous Voodoo Queen of New Orleans.
Watch over me, Marie, and take my humble gifts in tribute to your greatness.
Watch over me, Marie, and accept my humble gift and grant me your favor.
I call on you, Queen Marie, to accept my gift.
But while Marie was generally considered a positive force in New Orleans, not all initiates of voodoo are remembered in such a positive light. Such was the case of famous socialite, Delphine Lalaurie, who employed Marie Laveau as hairdresser in the early years of their relationship, and eventually as a teacher of the dark arts. Where Marie was anchored with a spirit of benevolence, Delphine took an entirely different turn. She was greatly feared, even among the voodoo community.
Marie, I have learned so much from you about the magic voodoo. I enjoy the spells you've given me, the recipes for the potions. But I want more. I know you harbor more powerful spells. And these are the ones I want to learn. Teach me, Marie. Teach me, and I promise to pay you well.
There is great responsibility in such things, Miss Delphine. One must be careful when learning such dark magic, as it will consume you.
Oh, Marie, I promise to be careful and judicious. But teach me all that you know. I want to know your deepest, darkest spells.
Delphine Lollaray had everything the rich and influential of New Orleans could ever want. A remarkable French-style home in the heart of the quarter. An elaborate social life full of grand balls. She wore only the finest imported fashions. Fresh fruit and meats and imported coffees were served at her table every day. And she lived a charmed life. Her rambling home sported three levels. An elaborate ballroom for entertaining, landscape grounds and gardens, and slave quarters in the rear. No less than a dozen servants and slaves catered to the family's needs. Yet not all was as it seemed at the Lollaray estate. Some suggested that the Lollarays kept a number of particularly healthy and attractive slaves that were used to treat their many friends and guests. There were rumors that sexual favors were performed by the slaves at those gay social affairs. Both men and women slaves were offered to preferred guests, and there was even talk of deviant acts of passion. Sadistic practices performed at the demand of the guests.
Now, you a fine specimen of a man. I do wish for you to tend my tired muscles, and I prefer that you remove your soul clothing lest I contract some dread disease. Wash yourself, then wash me as well.
I would like for you to dance for me. Let me see you flashing.
For long, there were instances of strange noises coming from the Lollaray home. There was laughter, but also the sounds of moaning and chanting. Screams could be heard late at night. Before long, the slaves in Madame Lollaray's employ lost their gay spirit. Their smiles were gone. Perhaps the workload was too great, but it was apparent there was a growing fear among them, and not all was right at Mansion Lollaray. More than once, a passing officer of the law, hearing screams from the top floor of the mansion, would knock on the door and inquire.
I thought I heard screams. Is everything all right here, madam?
Why, yes, officer. Truth be told, we are having trouble with some of these new slaves. thieves and cheats, I fear. And we must deal judiciously and harshly as the crime they want. But there is no problem here, thank you.